Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, mothers and fathers, men and women, sirs and ma'ams.
In the intro.
Welcome to Elevate Today podcast, where we elevate not one, but many podcasts at a time. Many podcasts at a time. Today, I am here with Mr. Daniel Gonzalez, father of the podcasting community. Welcome.
Shout out to you, Ari.
The sound just freaked out right now. It's damn. Like, line.
It's okay. Get over it, people.
Yes.
It's the mics. They're sensitive.
Daniel comes on this podcast quite often.
No.
Not as often as you'd think, but he does come on. He's like, you do come on. You're a reoccurring person.
This is my third time.
Frick, dude. I'm sorry.
Wait. Have you had anybody on twice?
Yeah, Annie.
That's right. So I'm the one that's the most consecutive.
Yes. And that's because we're only at episode 30. You've been on every 10 episodes. So yes, we're still young in the show journey, but we're
still in diapers.
Yeah, we're still in diapers. But you're almost at your 100th episode.
Yeah. I think you were what, 93 today? We did a podcast today and you were 93 or 94. That's the episode that you are. So yeah, we're almost at 100, which is pretty insane. And I remember when I first came on, you asked me a question about, so you had over 50 conversations, 50 episodes, and then now we're almost at 100, which is insane.
Yes. So podcast journey, it's wild. Yeah. It's very like, it's good to have people doing podcasts that you can talk to. So it's so nice having you, but it can be unmotivating. It can be discouraging. Because the growth is very slow and steady. Mm. It goes, but it's slow and steady.
Yeah.
And it's always nice for me, like being at the very beginning. It's like, it's easy to stay motivated when you're like 70 episodes ahead, getting your subscriptions there. You're going to be monetizing soon. And you're almost at your 100th episode. I'm like, okay, one at a time. It's just be part of it. It's the journey.
Yeah. I think I kind of like before I started a podcast and like before I started to put myself out there, I kind of like read about it. Watched documentaries, like read stories about like really famous athletes, how they had to struggle in the very beginning. And it was just like this slow growth. So it almost kind of like, I was already accustomed to it. I was already warmed up to it. So like, I knew whenever I put myself out there, I knew it was just going to be a gradual growth. I knew it wasn't going to be like this quick fix thing where it's like, oh my God, I'm already at over a million subs. I'm getting all the views. It's crazy. I feel like the gradual slow growth is like, it kind of makes you appreciate it more. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like you almost respect it more. Cause it's like, man, like I remember the process. I remember those long days of editing, those long days of like, oh my God, I thought I was ahead, but actually I'm not. These weeks go by so fast.
Yeah.
So it's a hustle. It's a lot of work. I mean, being a creator, it's a lot, honestly, but it's like literally creating a project. Like when you're done with the project, you know, it feels so damn good. Mm-hmm. It's the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad you taught me that early on with podcasting is the principle of slow and steady and to not expect it to blow up all of a sudden, but a year, 2 years, 3 years, you know, you'll get more listeners and that's how the show grows because there's just so many moments. If I didn't know that and realize how much kind of work it is, like creative work, production work, social media work, podcasting, like I probably would have wanted to stop by now. Mm. So you've kind of taught me that I have to love the journey.
Yeah.
Like not the end goal. I can't wait to get here, but like, oh, this whole thing is fun. Like learning how to do these crazy little tasks, fix problems and all of it.
And just imagine like being at like 1,000 episodes, like, that's like almost talking. I mean, you're going to have reoccurring guests come on here, but just imagine if like the bigger majority of those guests, it's like new people, 1,000 people. You know what I'm saying? That is like, I mean, there is going to come a time where you will be traveling to your guests and you'll be flying your guests out to you. It'll come to that point. But it's just like I love the beginning phases of it, especially like now, like kind of like your studio now and then what it's going to be in the next phase and the next phase and the next phase, because it's always going to change. Mine too. That's not permanent. That's always going to be something.
If this is like podcast world is more like influencer world, because I went to a Pilo concert and then I went to an Anis concert and they're doing a tour. So basically they have a show, they rent out a space, they have a show, They have merch outside. You can have drinks while you're there. So I'm like, if you go on a tour and you run a podcast, what is that equivalent to that I see today? Like, what's it like going on a tour for a podcast? Meet and greet? Interesting.
Well, actually, I see this a lot. I see, like, Patrick Bit-David is a man that I highly respect. He's a phenomenal businessman. He has a phenomenal podcast. Probably, honestly, my favorite podcast to this day. To this day. Beats the shit out of Joe's. And really? I love Joe Rogan. Yeah, but it's because as soon as you listen to Patrick Bit-David's podcast, right away it gets to the point. They introduce their guests. They're like, all right, question. Boom. And it's debating. It's you would love it. Patrick Bit-David podcast. It's amazing. But they do that. They have like, say, they're going to rent out a space and they do a live podcast. So all these people will show up and they're big fans of the people. So that's what it is, like creating a fan base, creating a community to the point where like, oh my God, I want to go see Hannah. I want to go meet her. So just imagine these people reach out to you, right? They DM you because they want to work with you, meaning getting their fitness and health dialed. It's almost like the same thing, especially when you gain traction, when your subscribers go up, when you start to get monetized, when you start to blow up on TikTok, blow up on Instagram, blow up on all the other social media platforms that are going to be coming up. Mm-hmm. And people start to like, I want to meet Hannah. Like when you went viral on my TikTok, you hit 4 million, 4.1. Everybody was asking, who is she? You know what I mean? It's like, that's a telltale sign. Exactly. But that's a telltale sign that people are curious. So just imagine, I'm like, oh guys, this is actually her stuff. This is what she does. Go follow her. And then eventually people are like, dude, like, we want you to come in Brazil. La, la, la. We want you to come in Canada. Like,
you might think people become those kind of listeners?
Yeah.
This is very interesting.
I do. I really do.
You really see people gather for music.
Exactly. But people would come to, I would go visit a conversation.
Mm-hmm. So it would be like a kind of like a visiting Jordan Peterson, how it's like a sit down discussion.
Exactly.
Topics to be presented. Yes. And they'd be going for the topic or like a, like a relationship retreat where you go for a whole day and then get these topics.
Because people would, people were like curious. I'm like, like for me, I listen to so many podcasts, but you're on one of my podcasts. Like you're on one of my lists. If you go on my Apple podcast, you're right there. And every Wednesday when it refreshes and I get the notification that a new podcast came out, I'm like, oh, I'm listening to it. I'm listening to it. And I don't go to bed on Wednesday until I do finish it. That's like a rule of mine.
Dang.
Which is funny. And then
thank you.
But it's like the same thing when you get so many people curious, especially the topics that you're so interested in, and they get curious. They're like, dang, I want to learn from her. Dang, I want like her to come to us. I want to meet her. I want to take pictures with her. I want to buy her merch. Like it's just endless possibilities with the podcast. It's weird. And people take it on the road. People go travel with it. People
meet people. I'm not there yet.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, just watch in the few months, in a few years, like, in due time. It's just, that's all it is. Like, that's what everything is. If you literally study any business, if you study any pro athlete, if you study any great athlete, it took them time. Like, it's so much hardship involved. Like, I remember the difficulties with you. It was so hard. It was literally so hard for you, but you figured it out. You're like, oh, like even like you're scheduling your guest, you're canceling your guest or rescheduling. You're doing so many other things. And, you know, you're like, you're not trying to get burnt out. You know, you're doing everything that's manageable for you. And that's like the healthy aspect, because I don't like the word burnout. I really don't like that word. I just think sometimes, we push away the things that we want to do for like, say, this project that you're doing, right? Say like a podcast. And but say you have a friend's wedding to go to, but you skip because you're like, I'm sorry, I have to record this podcast. This person's a big guest and I can't miss this. So it's almost like I don't think you're burnt out. You're like just anybody. I think you're just, fuck, like I think I missed out. Like, damn, I think I'm missing out on here. So the balance, I think people like us, unfortunately, there's never going to be balance. And I think we need to understand that going forward. You know,
what do you mean? Because recently I've been thinking you need to find balance.
Like, yeah, I said that too.
Yeah,
I would say that all the time too. But I'm starting to learn. I'm 28 years old. And when I start to like read and listen to all these other people that I would say like that are similar to us, they say that too. Like there's never balance. Mm-hmm. Like there's never going to be balance. Like you're going to have time where you see your family. You're going to have time where you see your friends. You're going to have time where you're hustling and working, but there's never balance. Mm-hmm. It's hectic. It's the life we chose.
I think so too. And then there's this thing, this different thing that's to be prioritized. That's genuine and intense gratitude for every moment.
Yeah.
Cause like, when you sleep, you're like, okay, thank God, it's nighttime, let's go. And then when you're with your family, you're not going to be lingering there very long because there's so many projects. But it's like, oh, I'm so happy to be here. I'm here, tired, but I'm so happy to be here. And like carrying that mentality. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's never perfect. Nothing ever is really balanced.
Yeah. And like, that's why like when I'm kind of helping these young kids out with their like, say, wanting to get their projects dialed, get their podcast up or get their YouTube channel up, I'm just like, oh man, I can't right now because I don't have like the right lighting. I don't have the right camera. I was like, but you have a camera, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not the right one. I'm like, you know, that right camera is like $4,000. Like, you got $4,000 right now that you can just pull out of pocket and just go pay for it? I was like, no. Okay, if you can't right now, then start. Like, just turn, press start on that. Press that little record button on that camera and just start. Mm-hmm. And like, people love to see like that progression, like how you first started your YouTube channel and how it was like not the best quality, not the best sound. And then like, you're going to get to a point where people kind of reach out to you like, Hannah, I remember when you started your pod. Now look at your studio. Like you upgraded so much. That's kind of like what you want. Like, I feel like every quarter, every 6 months, every year, you always want to like do something different. Mm-hmm. Like you always want to readjust your podcast in a way. Like I love your niche because it's like storytelling. It's
not niched yet.
I feel like it is. What
is it? I'm trying to find it.
I mean, from my perspective, like when I listen to your podcast, it's like I'm getting a very diversified of stories, and it's storytelling and it's people. It's the niche is people, you know? So it's like you give your little tidbits, and I love what your last guest did. He asked you a lot of questions, which is a very gentleman-like of him, because usually as a guest, like, oh, it's my time to shine, whatnot. But it's nice that he was like sitting back and kind of asking you questions, like wanting to learn from you. Mm-hmm. And like getting to know you. Like
that was like a coaching call.
Yeah, and that's great. And it was like, even when I was listening to it, I was like, this guy's doing a really good job.
Yeah,
but he's a great communicator. And when he sensed that in you, he's like, oh, I need to pick her brain. But mm-hmm. people like to see progression. And I think if you like, it sucks too, because even for me, when I didn't want to go on YouTube in the very beginning when I started my podcast, because I didn't have great cameras. But I wish I did put that up, because it would have been a fun thing to see how I started and like how it is now and how it will be. Like, it's progression over perfection.
What is your big dream with all of this that you're doing, like the work?
You know, that is the dream, is to work, which is weird. You know, like I feel like my happiness comes from productivity. My happiness comes from solving problems. My happiness comes from doing what I like to do. And that's a lot of hard things. Can they be stressful? Yep. Can they sometimes bring sleepless nights? Yeah. But that's, I kind of wake up every day and like walk through, you know, every step of the earth. I'm like, oh, this is what I chose to do. So it's like, I can't really complain. I can't be like, oh, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't show up today. It's like, no, this is the life I chose. And I'm the happiest when I'm doing it. So, the big dream is to obviously just be, free. That's the ultimate goal. I just want to be able to wake up one day, stretch my back, baby, let's go to Europe. Let's go to Europe for 3 months. You know, like randomly, because we can.
You never talked like that till yesterday. I heard you talk about it.
Really?
Yeah, because you love working so much, and that's rare. But for me, I'm like, oh, I love living so much. Yeah, so I work my butt off.
Yeah, but when I live though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when I'm there, like say there's moments, say camping with my family. We had nobody had service there on their cell phone.
That's
for
awesome.
three days. It was great. That was a phenomenal time being with the family. And when I'm there, I'm there. When I'm with you, I'm with you. When I'm with friends, I'm with friends. When I'm living, I'm living. But when I'm working, I'm working. Like, and even if I'm with people, like when I'm with my family, when I'm with my friends, I'm still thinking about work. I'm still being creative. I'm still thinking of the next thing. I'm still thinking of tomorrow, thinking of the next week, thinking of the next month, and thinking of the next quarter. That's just how it is, unfortunately. But that's the life I chose. And I'm not going to say, you'll never hear me like, I'm tired, Hannah. Like, I just want to stop. It's like, no, this is what this is. And I only know it because I've seen how there's a very select few of, I would say, sick individuals who are like, in a way, sick in the head in the best of ways, because they are just uncommonly relentless. Mm-hmm. And that's what you need.
Mm-hmm. And that's the leaders of society right now.
Yeah.
Especially like the ones actually preaching truth that we both follow.
Yeah.
Or like influential people, apart from like that have that kind of power. They are so ruthless. And if you think about it, if you had a friend like them, you would probably be like, you need to calm down, you need to chill, you need to not be so intense. Like, they're all insane and but so certain. They're insane but very certain in what they're doing, and that's why it's like, oh yeah, I trust them, and they have proof because they did it. Mm. But their personality is obsessive.
Yeah.
Is like crazy. Is the only thing I don't understand is how people like that also like are precise to the T sometimes. Like, I'm a more like Alex Hormozy, and you are more like Iman.
Interesting.
Because you're like, you're, you know, you can follow a routine.
Yeah.
And you can be like super consistent and show up like crazy. And I'm like, I can't do that. But.
And Alex is eating dessert every day.
But he's like, I just eat like Chipotle every day.
Yeah.
And I wake up and I just drink coffee and work.
Yeah. Simple.
And these shoes work for me because they're from Ross and they're cheap. It's simple. Like different.
Simple. Yeah, simple wins. So. Like, I think that too. That's why I love these guys who do what they preach. Like, you don't see Hormozy dressed in like Gucci and Louis and Armani and all this shit. Mm-hmm. Like, he's wearing Crocs and sandals to like events, talking events, and he's wearing his company's name shirt and the hat and showing his big ass calves. Like, dude, like, he's simple. And simple wins. And especially when you give out, like people don't look at him like, first of all, the best CEOs are also very, very fit. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why they say health is wealth. And there's nothing more gravitating than a man who runs an amazing business and helps other people scale their business. And he's also Jack City. That shows a lot about somebody's character. So my favorite CEOs are also in shape. You know, and that's why I feel like for us, it's important for us to like maintain our health and like better our health, because we're showing a direct of how we see ourselves, how much respect we have for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like if we just kind of ignore like, you know what, I'm just going to stuff my face every single day and just not train and just like, you know what, I don't care anymore. Oh, then you're kind of spitting at your own face. You know, and we can't have that. So all these guys that you kind of said, like Iman, even him, like he's not, I mean, don't get me wrong. He looks like he lives a very lavish lifestyle, but it's very well deserved, I would say, because he stacked his assets to the point where they're taking care of his lifestyle. Same with Hormozy, but Hormozy doesn't need to, I would say, dress so lavishly. You know, he's just kind of simple guy. Give me a t-shirt. And I love that too. I love that. It's almost like, man, like that's it's an example. Like, you don't see Warren Buffett and all these guys. Like, Warren Buffett is one of the greatest investors of our time. You'll never see a Gucci belt on him. You'll never see a fucking like Louis jacket, all this bullshit, Versace. Like, you'll never see that on these guys. Like, that's not what it's about. Looking rich is not what their intention is. It's being rich. Mm-hmm. Not even being rich. Rich is a stupid word too. I don't like that word at all. I like wealthy. Wealthy is being able to do whatever you want. Rich is like, oh, I get to buy whatever I want. Mm-hmm. I get to go to the Gucci store and buy those shoes. Yeah, okay, that's rich. But that's not long term. It's like, oh, this looks cool. I don't want to look cool. I want to be the part. I want to be able to, like, how we were talking off air, stacking our chips to the point where it's like, oh, like we're okay. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not really stressed because we're putting money aside, and we're also putting money to work in different avenues to the point where it's like, we can do this. We can go out. We can do this. Like, we can have fun. We can't go to the UFC fights. We can't go, like, go to, like, Dubai. Like, you can do whatever the fuck you want. That's the whole point. But I think society still continues to preach this, enjoy your life now and then work for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So I had to reverse my whole psychology on that, because I was kind of thinking like that too. When I was young, I was always playing. I was always bullshitting. I was always prioritizing. I was just not disciplined, very undisciplined. And then you kind of like start to see, like, you start to question things. Why do we have to go here? Why do we all have to work till we're 65? Why do we all have to, you know what I mean? Like, just stick to a job we don't like for the rest of our lives. And I mean, some people find careers and so on and so forth. And like, it's even like college. Why do people go to college? Like, why in your eyes, why do you think people go to college? If I were to ask you a question.
To find the career that they're going to choose to pursue.
And?
Life experience.
And I'll give you another one. To make good money.
Yeah.
Right? So I know a lot of people, even in my, I would say in my life that I've been near, they've always said like money is never a priority. But I was like, you've pursued college to obviously work in the field of the career that you loved and that you enjoyed, but also to make good money. Because why you need good money? Oh, you have to buy a house. Oh, you have to pay bills. You got to pay a mortgage. You got to get a, like, loan for your car. Like, you got to do all this stuff. Yeah. Like, but even that too, I feel like we're brainwashed in that aspect too. Like,
we really are.
Yeah.
Like, being homeschooled is really beneficial because your parents teach you your truths.
Yeah, you're lucky. You are very lucky.
I didn't realize that, because there's certain concepts and principles about finances that I didn't really have to really understand. I just understood. I'm like, why would I want to do that if I could do it different style?
Yeah. And I just feel like we've been taught so backwards, and I feel like it's important to like seek people who are doing the things that you want to do, but also like dig a little deeper. You know,
can you go into the things that you think we were taught backwards, the first ones you could think of?
Oh, this is a beautiful one. Buying a car you can't even afford. But the down, I put a down payment, but the monthly payments are only $600 a month. I'm like, dude, you don't own that car. Car owns you. That's what we've been taught. Like, we can put a down payment on a car, but we still have to pay monthly payments every month. How do we own that car? Mm-hmm. How? Like, we are literally still enslaved to that vehicle. Mm-hmm. So that's what we've been taught differently. Like, when people, like right now, like, yeah, man, I just bought this car. What about the monthly payments though? Like, I knew somebody who bought a Tesla and their monthly payments is like almost over $1,000. And I'm just like, dude, just imagine if you put $1,000 into the market instead of giving it to your car. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's different. So though, that's a big example of what I see, because I see a lot of people just bragging about, like, say, the vehicles they purchased driving like it's like all good. Like, oh, this is my car. But it's like, it's not your car. It's like... like, the car owns you, and that's and that's a sad thing that we've been taught, and it sucks. It's always important to like stack your chips to the point where those, like, say an asset is taking care of those payments. So say if you're like, you know what, I don't want my 9 to 5 to pay off my car. Let me have this asset that I stacked up pay for my liabilities, right? And I don't like driving. I don't like driving. Like, I love driving because I love to listen to podcasts on the road, but I don't like driving because it's such a liability. Every time I get in a car, I'm like, oh, I can possibly die today. Because I can consider myself a responsible driver, but I don't know the guy next to me. So I always have to be careful in that aspect. But yeah, that's a big one that I see a lot, that people talk about a lot. And it's just, it's kind of like, I kind of raise my eyebrows. I'm just like, Jesus. Okay, dude. But it's just kind of like annoying.
Yeah, it's true. And that's the same with college.
You know what makes me sad too? I think people are literally waking up and starting to understand that college means nothing. Like, I think I saw a video that AI will for sure replace many jobs, without a doubt. they said there was this guy, this investor that I follow. He made a video saying doctors won't be replaced. Clinical psychologists won't be replaced. He gave a few others, but I forgot what their fields were. And this other person reversed that. He said, no, you go to a doctor for a specialty, right? If you pop your shoulder and like, you got to go see a shoulder specialist to go fix your shoulder. Just imagine if you had a robot that was a specialty and can do anything it wants. You have one doctor over here that's a human that only knows one part of the anatomy and that can fix you. Or you have this robot right here that knows everything about you and can fix you so easily. Therefore, doctors are gone. Clinical psychologist. Jordan Peterson is a clinical psychologist, right? Mm-hmm. They're saying humans need that human connection to be able to like, oh, sit down, give their experiences. And then the person went off that where, oh, all the robot has to do is accumulate all this information. Because what, like, every time we talk, right, we're just kind of like explaining our experiences. The robot could just like accumulate past information about, oh, this is what, let me see, Kobe Bryant went through. This is what Serena Williams went through. This is what Tom Brady went through. This is how he achieved it. Let me tell you how he did it, and maybe you can try it too. And then the client's like, thanks, robot. Thank you.
I never would have thought we'd have made it alive during these times.
I was telling Annie when we were with her at lunch today, I said, I feel like we, I don't want to be too scary, but I feel like in due time, if you like watch Terminator, if you watch iRobot, it's almost like the humans are going to be like the next animals.
Yeah.
You know, like animals will be like gone and AI robots, they're just going to be taking over. Like there's not going to be no police. There's not going to be no firemen. There's not going to be no nothing. So it's going to be interesting. I'm kind of curious, but what do you do? Like, are you just going to sit and complain, or are you going to adapt with the environment? That's the point. But there are the leaders, going back to the whole leader thing, it's our job to kind of sit down, do our due diligence and research, and execute on what we need to do. Because we can still get our bread. We just have to figure out how we keep it and how we keep maintaining it and growing it. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
Yeah.
But it's just, it is worrisome. I would say it's scary, but it's also fun, as weird as that is. Mm-hmm. Because innovation, think about it, when the internet first came out, people were freaking out, just like how people are freaking out now. Guess what? Internet is actually a great tool for a lot of things. It helps a lot of businesses. People are multimillionaires because of the internet. Even when phones started coming out, you know, same thing, people were freaking out. Oh my God, this is going to ruin everything, which it kind of does in a way. I feel like there's a negative connotation towards social media if you use it correctly or if you don't. But I feel like every stage of like life where something new comes out and everybody gets terrified instead of just working along with it. You know what I mean? Like some people, when the internet came out, oh, I'm going to use this to my advantage. When phones came out, oh, I'm going to use this to my advantage. When AI comes out, oh, I'm going to use this to my advantage.
Right.
Which one are you going to be? The lions or the sheep? Like, it's a decision. Going back to, like, we always talk about that, you and I, decisions. But it's so easy. Like, I know so many people who are more scared. I'm like, oh, then you're going to be one of those people that are being left behind and playing catch up. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to be there?
Yeah.
Would you?
Mm-mm. Exactly. That's exactly how I felt when ChatGPT came out. My mom was telling me all about it. It's going to be crazy. It's going to change so much. And then when I figured out on my own time, I was like, oh no, like humanity is not ready for something this powerful, for AI to take over in that way.
Yeah.
But then I was like listening to Alex Hormozi, and he was just like, it can either benefit you or it can harm you. Let it benefit you. Yeah. Learn from it. The sky's the limit if you can ask the right questions. So I stayed up late that night just asking it questions, talking to it, learning how it could benefit my lifestyle and what I do. But if it really did come down to it, like, I don't need it. Like, I'm going to use it and to its benefit until there's a reason to not.
And you were creative already. Like, you were a creative before that even came up. Like, I mean, when you read me your journal today, like a page, like, it was like almost like ChatGPT wrote that. That's how good it was.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? So, like, that's how crazy that is. But you were already a creative thinker before that. So that's a good thing to have. It's a good attribute. It's a good trait to have. But like I said, it's to use it to your advantage. There are a lot of people who are crying and like, oh my God, we're going to be gone. It's like, or dude, use it to your advantage. Mm-hmm. It's a simple decision.
Yeah. And take note of the human powers, the human responsibility we have too.
Yeah.
Because being sad, like, just go away if you're going to just be sad about it. But if you can have solutions and bring them forward in the right circle of people or ways that you can keep your family safe, like, you know, ideas, saving food, having proper firearms, knowing like people that can grow food, that can grow crops, know farmers, know people that have eggs, know people that have land, and just put your feelers out for if it came to survival state.
Yeah.
But obviously we don't want to think that extreme, but we kind of have to if AI technology will take over and then, you know, a robot catastrophe could happen.
Yeah.
Anything could happen. Mm-hmm. But are you too scared where you can't even think about it, where you're paralyzed from what is the worst thing that could happen? Well, if the worst thing that can happen, humans have to fight back.
Yeah.
And I think I got a good shot at things with who I know. That's how you have to think.
Agreed. Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. And I would say spend 1 or 2 hours a day on it, learning from it and learning how to use it. Using it to your benefit.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like in any skill, I feel like we all have to just put in the time into like what it is and just kind of figure it out. Like if I want to learn about real estate, I'm going to do research on a few hours of it daily. If I want to learn about a specific stock that I don't understand, or do research on a CEO that I don't know that just came into a company, I'm like, oh my God, like when Elon announced a new CEO for Twitter, I was like, is this going to be good or not? Mm-hmm. So I had to do the whole research on the CEO, because when people say like, oh, what, when a cousin, like when, like not even like just anybody, they'll ask me like, oh, what do you invest in? I'm saying like, that's like the wrong question, man. You're like, why do I invest in it? Mm-hmm. You know, like you have to add, like, those are the wrong questions. Like, why do I invest in it? And I was like, don't just look at the company. And this is what drove me nuts. People are like, oh, I invest in Tesla. I was like, why? I'm like, oh man, I love Elon. I'm like, is that it? I was like, did you ever look at a balance sheet of Tesla? Did you really like analyze the company? Did you see who is like running it all, like everything? Did you look at the, just study the balance sheet, the quarterly, yearly? Have you ever done that? No. Oh, I like, dude, Elon, you know, Elon's a game changer. I was like, no, I fuck with Elon too. I love Elon, but they're in a way gambling. Because they're not doing their research. They're not doing their due diligence. And you pay the consequences of that. Just like AI. If you don't do your due diligence and actually learn how to use it, then you'll be left behind. And that's just the reality of everything. So every time when people have free time, use that to your advantage and learn a new skill. Mm-hmm. And we have time. We all have time. It's just a priority. Mm-hmm. You know?
And it's being convinced that it's worth giving up now.
Yeah.
For later, but we're like, nah, if we chill now, we'll enjoy now more.
Oh yeah. And that's easy. That's a trap. Yeah, it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to get distracted, even for myself. Like you kind of say, like I kind of stick to my routine. I do. And it's also very easy for people to try to get me out of that routine, because it's like people pull me left and right. Oh, come over here, come this way. Oh, I need help here. Oh, like, take this call, do this. It's like constant problem solving. And like, I feel like I was everybody's 911 for a minute. Mm-hmm. And to the point where you talked about being ruthless before in the beginning of the podcast. And I feel like I had to harden my heart a little bit and be like, leave me alone. Mm-hmm. You know, even for people I cared about.
Yeah.
I had to be like, I'm sorry, but my priority is my mission. And if you are not helping me, get out of my way.
Yeah.
Respectfully. Mm-hmm. With love.
And that's how we need to know our own selves and our own life and our own mission to create boundaries.
Yeah.
But we're not told to create boundaries. We're not told how.
You get bashed for that.
Yeah.
You get bashed for creating boundaries. Mm-hmm. Or like, why? What's wrong? What am I doing wrong? What did I say something to you? Like, am I a liability to your life? It's like, kinda, because you're whining like one. I was like, why would I want that in my circle? Like literally. And I'm starting to see that. Like, I feel like you study these businessmen and like they're kind of ruthless too. Like some of them are very loving individuals and they are to the right people, but they also avoid the shitty people. Mm-hmm. Like you don't see Hermosi fucking around with dumbass people. You don't see Iman fucking around with dumbass people. Like literally we're the high level individuals are very selective of who they even surround themselves with. And I had to be like that too. I had to really look at people's, like I tweeted this a while ago, where if you're going to do business with somebody, before you do business with them, you have to look at their outside life. And if they are undisciplined, if they are reckless and childlike, leave them be. Move on. Because that's not somebody you would want amongst your business. Mm-hmm. It'll tear it down, because that team is everything. And if you hire the wrong people, you're fucked. Mm-mm. And you do not want that on you, because then what? You have to solve more problems. Oh, this shit went down. Why? Oh, because Kyle didn't do this. It's like, fuck. Well, I got to figure it out now, because that's what we do. Entrepreneurs and risk takers and leaders are born problem solvers.
Yeah.
But we also welcome it. We're almost like, oh, we're used to it. But it doesn't end. Mm-hmm. It doesn't end. So even like right now, when you had a season of life recently, I would say, like you've been like doing a lot of changes. And that's what it is. Like it's going to continue to be like that. Like as the months go on, the years go on, it's going to be nice to see your growth. Honestly, it's going to be cool. Like when you're 27, 32, like I can't wait for those days when you're, and we get to sit back and kind of like, man, like remember those times when we first started all this? And it's just a progression. It's supposed to be like that. The slow growth is the beautiful part of it. But I know, like, you have the right circle, the right people, because you're strategic. You know, you're a grown-ass woman. You know what the hell you're doing. But I think it's also to not punish yourself like how I used to in the past, too. If I feel like if I, say, ate a pizza, I used to look at it as punishment. Oh, got to run 10 miles. Dude,
dang.
Eat the fucking pizza.
That's crazy.
Stupid though, right? It's dumb. Like, oh, I messed up. Dude, I didn't mess up anything. I don't have an exam. This food is not an exam. It's just food. Yeah. Like, tomorrow's a new day. Figure it. Go to sleep and, like, let's start again. But people just need to have, like, avoid the whole negative connotation of things.
Yeah.
Like, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's with anything, like relationships, business, your job, your friends, everything. You just have to be very, very mindful.
Yeah, that's why I respect the inner healing and self-help and love journey, because when I do something I know I'm not supposed to do, I want to not be like, Hannah, why the frick did you do that? Self-sabotage, and now you have to do this instead. But like, it's going to be Hannah and me for a long time. So how do I learn myself so that I don't punish myself, but continue and do what's necessary to continue to grow and not, like, you know, punish.
Yeah. And if you say self-sabotage yourself, you're only creating stress. And what is stress? That's like the biggest progression killer. Mm-hmm. You know, like sleep deprivation is probably one of the worst ones too, but I would say stress is the biggest, because if you're like mentally not there all the time, everything in your life will just collapse. And why would you want that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's important to have those self-development days, a spa day, you know? Like, what's a spa day for me? Sauna, 30-minute sauna session. You know, do a training session in the morning, have breakfast, go on my 15-minute walk, sit in the 30-minute sauna session, sit in the pool for a little bit, spa day. You know what I mean? Doing some hard shit with some good shit, refreshing shit, all adding it all together, you know? But other people's might be different. Like, another one of mine is reading. I love reading.
That's crazy.
Another one of mine is helping solving a problem with a client, or doing podcasts. These are all forms of like my spa days, or some sort of self-development days, things that I get to better myself, things that I get to challenge myself. It's like I'm always, every day is a challenge. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be that way. And it's going to continue. It's going to get even crazier. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm aware of that. Therefore, it's like I already have like a warning. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But a friendly warning. It's friendly, like, warning. We're like, hey, like, in a couple weeks, this is what's gonna happen. And I was like, I already mentally put myself there, so it's like I'm prepared for it. Mm-hmm. You know? So, and that's like kind of like the benefit of like continuing to work. You're always in that mindset. You're always in that creative space. You're always like, what's the next project? You're always thinking like, how am I gonna grow my income? What am I going to diversify into next? Who am I going to bring on to next? Who am I going to collab with next? Like, you're constantly thinking of all these things. But again, that's what people like us do. And we're supposed to. And like, going back to the no balance, there is no balance. This is obsession. Mm-hmm. There's no balance. This is obsession. It's bigger. It's bigger than us, mm-hmm. you know? And even like the lonely side of it, because they say like when you're by yourself working, it's very, very lonely. I think it's only lonely if you don't really have meaning or purpose, mm-hmm. you know? Like if you have those things, you're never lonely, because your mission is much bigger than for what's to come. Mm-hmm. So right now it might be lonely, yeah, but what you build and what you create, what comes with that? A community. What is a community? People. So you went from being alone, from surrounded by amazing, genuine people. Mm-hmm. How would you lose? Mm-hmm. And that's your niche, is people. So using these lonely times right now, the days that you are, those are like the best days, because as it goes, you're gonna be like, oh my God, I'm never alone now. Mm-hmm. You know? And I would say there are a few people, like Hermosi and Layla, they look like they're just alone together all the time. Like they talk about how they're very busy within their business daily, but when they're with each other, they're with each other. They kind of get away from all the noise by, hey babe, I'm just with you. Mm-hmm. You know? And I love that. I love how their business is their baby.
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
But I love that.
You're like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say. Like that's my wife currently. Mm-hmm. Like I am single, but the things that I do, that's my wife. Mm-hmm. I'm married to it now until I find a significant other.
Oh, so you're in a relationship right now?
Yes, long-term relationship.
Yes, long-term.
Oh my God. But no, I'm not in a relationship with a woman. I'm just, I'm married to the game, mm-hmm. I would say. Married to the game, married to the hustle, married to the grind, married to the like relentlessness. Like I'm married to that right now. Oh,
scared the shit out of me. What did?
But yeah, that's what I'm married to, honestly. Mm-hmm. And like you too, right? Are you in a relationship, Hannah?
I am not in a relationship, but...
Por qué?
Because I'm not ready to be in a relationship yet. I have a lot of things.
Question. What does ready mean?
Ready means you feel like you won't hurt someone. In my opinion...
You think you'll hurt somebody right now? I don't think you
will. I don't think I will try to, but I feel like I can because of how I catch myself treating people, or how I catch myself guilt tripping myself. And, you know, I'm learning how I honestly treat myself and talk to myself to see if it's like healing and loving, because I'm just going to treat someone how I treat myself. So I want to like put my own dreams and priorities first for a bit, so I can learn how to live that life and also just calm my heart and just reflect. And I'm in therapy right now.
Yeah. How is that?
It's beautiful. It's really nice to have someone that like I could be like, all right, I want to be able to ABC, and this is what I'm currently struggling with, and I give me a solution to work on. And she's a wonderful, phenomenal human, and I can't wait to meet her in person one day.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's nice to have the check-ins, and to even feel like I'm like on a journey of understanding myself more. I mean, I think I'm like self-aware, but I want to make sure that what's meant to me comes to me, and I'm not seeking anything. I want to attract everything for me. And right now I'm just focusing on myself, my journey, my dreams.
If you were that therapist and this was a therapy session, what is a question that you would want to ask me to be able to get something out of me? Maybe like a question that she's asked you, I would say, that kind of gives you an idea, or it's kind of similar to what she had asked you.
Well, the things that she was asking me was like, what is, because I've done therapy with her before, and that was when I was in my slump.
Yeah.
And then I did therapy with her after, while I'm out of my slump, but I'm still like, I just need you to check me here and there, make sure my heart and soul are being honored and respected, and make sure things I go through in life I have peace with, and like more so making it a life coach styling therapy where I'm not like, I'm working through how I see this, but just like, here's my goals right now. How can you help me? So different kind of therapy. And I do have things I'm working with, but working through. she would probably ask, like, what is it that's like reoccurring on your mind this week? Something like that. That's like a starter.
I'm so boring. It's just like, oh, work.
No. So I would ask you, what are your guilty pleasures?
Ooh, that's a good one. I mean, I eat. Like, but that's the thing. Like, I eat and I don't punish myself now. Like, I eat to eat. Like, I don't give a fuck.
That's not that guilty.
That's, now it's not. Before, but I know the outside work, because I'm in the fitness industry. People would see, like, Daniel, you eat a lot. But I was like, yeah, but I'm still jacked, though. And what, dude? Like, mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Like, what's so bad about it? Like, you know why? My physique has changed so much because I'm not putting myself through so much stupid stress. Like, your body is a big correlation of your mind, mm-hmm. You know? So if I'm putting myself through mental stress, it's going to show within my body, mm-hmm. You know? That's why, what do they say? The greatest CEOs are also the fittest, right? The guilty pleasures, man, that's a tough one.
You might have got it out of your system to the point where everything you do makes sense.
Can I say a past one, maybe?
Sure.
Women, maybe?
Not anymore?
Not really. No?
This is crazy to me, you know? Like, we all have guilty pleasures, in my opinion. I met two other women lately that I'm like, what are your guilty pleasures? And she was like, work.
Yeah.
And then the other one, she was like, I don't know. I have beer sometimes, I guess. My husband.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guilty pleasures is like, because see, I don't think things that I do, say like if I drink, I don't consider that as like, oh, I'm fucking my body up. Like,
yeah.
I don't put that on me. You know what I mean? If I go out and eat with my family, it's like all this crazy food. Like, I had s'mores when I went camping with my family. I had a lot of s'mores. Freaking great. Didn't punish myself. Guess what? Still had abs the next mm-hmm. day. Like, what are we doing?
So cutting weight kind of messed up your relationship with food?
Absolutely. It messes up everybody's relationship with food. It's stupid. It's mm-hmm. dumb.
Because you see it all as, like, making you heavier.
Body dysmorphia, eating disorders. Like, it's stupid. Like, mm-hmm. And it's funny. People will do these competitions and then they pay the price for it. And mm-hmm. they all the time they look at his food is like, their whole feed on Instagram is just fucking cupcakes and fucking cookies and everything. Just, that's all they crave. That's, it just creates a crazy eating disorder. And every mm-hmm. time they're looking at themselves like, oh, I don't look good, when they obviously look good, it's like, dude, just be happy. Like, be happy with your lane, and then if you want to change, then change. But don't fucking complain that, like, oh my god, I'm the fattest person in the world, I'm never gonna get in shape, I'm never gonna get my calves big. Like, dude, just stop. Enjoy the process. Like, we all have a lane that we stay in. Like, I know some guys who are jacked and they say they're small. I'm like, bro, I'm small. You're huge. Shut the fuck up.
Those people blow my mind. Because, like, when you feel secure in yourself and you have a healthy point of view of yourself, you're just like, eh, okay. And when you hear someone complain about their own body, but it's obviously a lie, you're like, you're crazy. But you're also like, you feel that way, yeah, like, express yourself, like, feel free to let it out. But I think body dysmorphia is really a really sad thing.
But it's easy, though. It's like everybody has it or had it in a way, because say the people in the fitness industry, they're heavy on it, without a doubt. They are heavy because social media is a really clear indication of, like, you could look at somebody like, why is her waist so small and her ass is so nicely shaped and I'm not? Or you could look at, like me, I could look at a guy and be like, dude, bro, you're fucking jacked. Like, shout out to you, dude. Without me bitching and moaning, like, he's probably on gear. He's probably taking shit. Fucking cheater. Different mindsets. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Why would I just bitch and moan at him when I can just celebrate it? Mm-hmm. Same thing with women. Why can't women just be like, girl, you look fucking bad. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why can't there just be compliments? But instead, it's like bickering and bitching and moaning. It's like, it's weird. It's just small-minded mm-hmm. people.
Yeah, small-minded and big-minded are completely different people.
Absolutely.
And that's why you just protect your circle with better, uplifting humans.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Guilty pleasures. You don't watch porn?
I do not.
Do you smoke marijuana?
I do not.
Do you drink consistently weekends?
No.
Do you have sex frequently?
No.
Do you jack off often?
No. I don't remember the last time I jacked off.
Do you like trying new drugs?
No.
Do you have you done shrooms before?
No.
Are you a shopper?
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 No. You know the last time I bought shoes? High school. Guess who was the guess who bought me shoes recently? You did. You bought me two pairs of shoes. You know how happy my friends were? They were like, dude, you got new shoes?
Yeah, you wear the same ones all the time. Yeah.
But I'm simple. Same like in a lesson from Hormozy. He wears sandals. He wears shorts. He wears a fucking t-shirt. I love that. You don't need all this crazy fancy shit. That's like a lesson that I like to pass on to people. Like when people are trying to show me their fucking watch, their chains, I'm like, dude, I don't give a fuck about that. Mm-hmm. Like I care about how you manage your shit and how you grow your shit. Don't tell me how much you're spending. I don't give a shit about that. Like, do you have shit on the side just in case something happens with your mother? Do you have money on the side to point where you can take care of her? Priorities, right? Like every time, are you able to put yourself in a position where you can take your family out to dinner? Mm. Take them out and spoil them. Can you? Can you go give your mom a spa day? Can you? No. Then what the fuck are you doing? Why you?
No.
This is very true. Yeah, but I don't like that whole mentality where like even like say young kids, that's literally the look. You have to look the part rather than be the part. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like why? Literally why?
Because we're not taught laws and principles, and children are sponges to their environment. So you can't really, like, we take full responsibility, and that's a belief, but we can't blame children when the adult, the influential adult figure, didn't teach that what mattered on the outside wasn't important. What really mattered is on the inside, and the things that matter, like how you treat your family, how you take care of your family, how you love others. So this is an adult issue. Parents are not teaching their children the proper principles and making sure that their children aren't learning the proper principles.
Yeah. And I don't, you ask like a lot of questions when it comes to like my guilty pleasures, mm-hmm. The whole drinking. Drinking is very like on occasion when it comes to like friends events, family events, so on and so forth. The marijuana thing, I would say I smoked, but I don't do it right. You know, when people have to inhale it into their lungs, I just spit it out. Like yeah. I keep it in my mouth like a cigar and I just let it out. So
you don't actually smoke.
I don't actually smoke, which mm-hmm. is kind of, but I don't honestly do it. Like one of my best friends got married last year and we all went to the side and everybody just took a puff and I did it too. But it's like, I'm like, oh my God, guys, like I'm high. No, I wasn't. Like, did I have a lot of wine that day? Yes, I did. But growing up, I just saw a negative connotation towards marijuana. I saw it turn some of my best friends lazy. And I didn't like that. And I saw them get kicked out of their house. We were kids, sixth grade. Imagine being a sixth grader kicked out of your house. Like, I saw that. And I was like, I don't want to end up like that. I was like, my parents are fucking strict on me. I was like, if they found out I was smoking weed, I'd fucking get my balls ripped off. You know what I mean? So I was the police too. You know what I did with my friends? Because I didn't want them to get in trouble. I would get their bag of weed and I'd put it in the toilet and I'd flush it. And it was a lot. And I remember my friend beat the shit out of me because of it. But I didn't want my friends to get in trouble. I didn't want my friends to be mentally fatiguing. It just looked that way. Mm-hmm. It just looked like you're just like, like you're not even fucking there. I'm just like, dude, wake the fuck up. Like, But I've also seen people use it to their benefit. Mm-hmm. People use it to be creative. People use it to put them at ease. Like a lot of people use it to their benefit and a lot of people use it lazy, mm-hmm. you know? So it's just like anything too, fitness. Like you can fucking kill yourself in the gym. And then what, you're the next day, your body's all fucked up and you can't even move. Like why would you want that? Like I don't train to be sore the next day. I train to be fully active and fully prepared for what's to happen the next day. Very, very different. Mm-hmm. Like if I have to go save somebody from a building that's a burning building, is my body capable of kicking that door down, going up the stairs while fire's hitting me, so on and so forth. Is my body physically prepared for that? Mm-hmm. That's what you have to kind of look at life now and look at your body. Prepare it for life. Don't prepare it because, like, dude, look at my fucking chest. Look at my fucking abs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's different. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm not much of a drug guy. I don't think I ever will be, honestly, too. Like, I don't really crave that. I don't really seek it. I always like to ask people about it. Like, oh, how is it? But I've seen coke, but I've never done it.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Seen coke.
Like, I've seen it, but I was like, I have no intention on doing it. Like, why the fuck would I touch something? Like, I just, mm-hmm. I don't care. Mushrooms, like, you know, maybe. I took a gummy before that, what is it, THC? Like, it's like, makes you high. Yeah, so gummy got me fucked up. That was crazy. Mm-hmm. I had an edible before, got me fucked up. I was crying and throwing up. Crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy. But yeah, it's. I'm not really a druggy guy. I fucking hate alcohol. I can't do alcohol. Like, don't get me wrong. When I drink, I drink. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll have some shots, but I'm not, like, trying it. Like, damn, I love this. Like, it sucks. Like, it burns, and it's uncomfortable. And I never get blacked out, and I've never been hungover. Mm-hmm. Because I'm always like staying hydrated during, but I'm always sleep deprived because alcohol fucks with your sleep. That's like the only thing that I hate about alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But I use alcohol to socialize. Like, oh, this is fun. Like, why the fuck not? Like, we were talking about kind of like clubs off air, and how you were saying, if I want to dance, I want to go dance. Then mm-hmm. why the fuck not go dance? There's not a negative connotation towards that.
Yeah.
I think it depends.
How you dance?
Yeah. I mean, no, not even that.
It does.
If you...
Because people take note of it and I hear stories. So I'm like, fine. If it matters, then I won't do it.
But it's easy to just like, oh, like, no, like, sir, like, I don't want you to come and dance with me.
Yeah.
That's easy too. Like, just as how easy it is to like shake a girl shake her ass. It's easy to say no to a guy from approaching her. It's not hard, but it's flattering.
Yeah.
And it's hard when it's like, oh, the guy's good looking. He's like, oh, damn, like, yeah, come dance with me. Or you could be like, no, I'm just here with my girlfriends. Stay over there. Mm-hmm. You know, big difference. So if you want to dance, go fucking dance.
Yeah, but that's the thing. They like, it's always music and drinking environment. There's not just music environment. Like, that's rare, but it's such a powerful craving when you want
to
dance.
It could be, though. Go to a club next time and don't drink. Try it.
I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Was it great?
It's fun. You just don't dance as long.
Tired?
You're just kind of like, all right, I'm ready to go. Or like a bad song plays. And if you have that alcohol hyping you up, then you're just like, I don't even like this song, but I'm going to dance to it. But if you're sober, you're like, no, I don't like Bad Bunny.
Yeah. Yeah. Alcohol just kind of gives you like a second gear or a third or a fourth.
Yeah, you know it does. It's kind of cool. It's like, this is a cool power force.
Yeah. Like, I feel like even like when we drink, it's always been fun. It's never been like, oh my God, like, we're getting crazy. It's like, no, it's always been like, we're dancing, we're having fun. It's not reckless. It's not mm-hmm. stupid. We're just having fun.
Until I start crying.
Maybe just, I don't know, got emotional. Maybe you were talking to somebody that gave you a certain emotion that you felt that day.
Yeah. Well, your brother was talking about love with his girlfriend.
There you go.
That brings out emotions. But but that's the other thing. It's always interesting when it comes to alcohol, if good things ever come out or if it's always things that we're trying to hide and control.
Yeah.
Because they say bad things like your anger, your emotions. But I'm like, don't we need to know those?
Yeah.
But not at the cost of your body's health, you know? And again, I'm like, I'm still wanting to be biased because I've only been legally allowed to drink for like 2 years.
Yeah, but I think that, like, going back to the whole punishment thing, like, I think people should view what their guilty pleasures as not guilty, maybe. I don't know. True. Like, I just think if you want to go drink with your friends, go drink with your friends. But just be aware of, like, who's going to be the most disciplined one there. Mm-hmm. Like, who's going to be the one that's going to be, like, taking care of everybody? Because I remember when you, me, and Annie went to a club in New Year's Eve of this year, and we took an Uber there, and we were already buzzed because we did a podcast, all three of us, and we were already buzzing. Like, we were at hard buzz, like, especially me. As soon as I got to the club, I got sober. because I was like daddy mode. I was like, oh, I gotta protect these girls. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like as soon as you got there, you guys were both like, oh, I'm ready to dance. And you're like, Daniel, don't pay for me. Then you took off.
That is so funny too, because it's like me and Annie, we get it. We're like, when it comes to drinking environment, you don't pay for stuff.
Yeah.
And so we already saw you could just walk through, and if you're certain and confident, you can like pass everyone. And so we were on the same page.
See, I'm paranoid. I can't do that. I can't just walk in. I didn't do that. I paid for all three of us.
I'm so mad at that. And thank you for so much.
No, of course. Yeah, no problem. But that's an example of like whoever's in a friend group, like somebody has to kind of own up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you guys can still drink, but somebody in that group has to own up and be like, oh, like who's going to take care of who? And that's what I did that night. Like as soon as we stepped foot into the club, I was like, oh shit, I am protector now. Mm. And it was crazy. The first 30 minutes, I couldn't find you guys.
Okay. Bathrooms, dude, go crazy.
I could not. It was so crowded there.
It was, yes.
And I was terrified. I thought you literally guys got taken.
I think it's so funny how you're like, your thoughts are so extreme. Because it's like, we'd have to get taken
out. I watched too many movies.
Yeah. I mean, anytime alcohol is involved, you should be on toes. But yes. But the other side is when I'm with Annie, I'm like on my cloud nine, like, ah!
Yeah, you guys have every right to be. But I'm just like, damn.
The bathroom was a party. Like, I saw one girl from high school, another girl that knew Annie, and they knew each other. And we're just like, oh my gosh, look. Let's take a picture.
Jesus Christ.
And it's just so fun. And we're like, you look so cute, because you have that alcohol energy. Yeah. And it just makes you kind of crazy.
Yeah. Some guy got my fucking, like, he was like, bro, can I get your number? He was behind me. He was like, bro, it wasn't like a.
You made it sound pretty gay. No,
it wasn't him trying to hit on me, but he was like, bro, I fuck with you. He's like, bro, you're dressed like fucking fly. Like, fuck yeah. Like, he was like hyping me up, just like how you girls did in the bathroom. Yeah. And he was like, you know what, bro, like, dude, we gotta link up. I was like, dude, I just fucking met you. Like, we're in back of an ATM. Like, what are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
He's
sir?
Like, hey bro, get my IG. I'm like, what?
You said that?
I just said, like, he was drunk, so I wasn't like fully complying. I was just like, bro, like hold on, man, I'm trying to find the girls real quick. He's like, no, here, type in your IG. I was like, okay, well, you could follow me, but I'm not gonna follow you. I don't even fucking know you.
It's really crazy how, like, I think that's the other thing that I'm, like, understanding about giving up alcohol in that environment is I enjoy being around people that have that much passion energy.
Yeah.
It's chaotic and crazy, but I'm like, a lot of people, why does it take them a drink to be like,
yeah,
dang, you look so cute. Hey, by the way, I know that we know this, have this mutual friend, and I want to make sure nothing's weird between you and I. It's like, those things come out when alcohol's involved, but what is it that keeps us from truly expressing our truth if it requires alcohol to bring that out?
Yeah. Like, when I, what's wrong with telling a woman, like, she looked beautiful? Like, we saw Annie today, and we were talking about, I think the night before where she was at, where she was dressed really nice. And I said, like, oh, like, she looked really, really good. Mm-hmm. Like, what's wrong with telling a woman that? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Like, what's, even today when you first came up, when you came on my podcast, like, dude, I like that fit. And you're like, thank you.
It's what? A workout shirt. Yeah.
But like, I'm saying, like, what's wrong with it though? Like, what's the problem with just complimenting somebody? But people just don't do it anymore.
Yeah, but it's also hard because women will be like, oh my gosh, how did you cross a line? Or guys are just like, that didn't mean I want to date you.
Yeah.
You know, there's always misinterpretation, and that's why it's good to be confident and secure and not overthink anything. But that's not realistic for anyone.
And it's so funny. Like, I like to call women beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like, every time my cousins call me, the women cousins that I have, as soon as I pick up, what's up, beautiful? Like, or if I see my ma, oh, good morning, beautiful, yada, yada, or just anybody. Or I'll say queen. But they think it's like, oh, I'm hitting on them. It's like, no, I'm not hitting on you. I'm just giving you a basic compliment. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a queen, right? You talk about that queen shit, right? So what's wrong with me, a full-grown-ass man, calling you a queen? What's the big deal? You know, but mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, he's being a fucking, like, oh my God, those are not my pronouns. I don't fucking know.
Those are not my Nah, you'll filter out those people quick.
Oh yeah, I have been, and you it's easy. Mm-hmm. It's very, very
And it's
easy.
Not even cutting off or filtering. It's like, they don't want to stay, so they will not stay.
Yeah.
You can't receive the same energy.
No, we can't. Mm-hmm. And it's easy just to kind of remove them. It's not hard. I think it's only hard when you've like built such a weird connection with them. I think it is when it's like primary family. That's when it's hard. Mm-hmm. That's when it's like, ooh, I gotta make a decision here. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a big one where it's like, ah, all right, I got it. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think that something that I respect is monks a lot more. Mm. It's because they really do spend a set apart time alone by themselves. And they really learn everything, all the answers, all the truths that they need to know. And they're isolated. They're by themselves. And it makes your external world so much more beautiful when your internal world is so safe. But oftentimes, yeah, we're never given that time to be fully alone, to be fully away from people that could influence us or take away from our energy. Even if it's from a loving place, it's like, there's so much that goes down from head to toe within our bodies and minds and souls and spirits.
You know, that's my form of therapy, being alone.
And, isn't that weird? Okay.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of weird things about you.
No, but I would say that's definitely one of them. That's like very therapeutic to me, is like being alone where I get to do everything that I want to do in that specific day. Like this upcoming weekend where I get to like be home and just stay home and just kind of like, oh, Friday work, Saturday record a couple podcasts, Sunday do some more work. I'm just like, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'll see you, who knows. Oh, but you might go to San Diego or so and so or so. But if so, it's just like planning everything accordingly to the point where it's like, oh, I can work. I can see the people I want to go see. And I can do the things that I want to go do.
Yeah. You know? I really admire that. I think that's a good thing, though. It's like, is the fact that you love your alone time any worse than someone that loves their alcohol? No, that's better. That's like the ideal guilty pleasure or addiction.
Yeah. And I started, it's funny because I used to look at people like that, with people who are like workaholics. I'm like, dude, how could they just work all the goddamn time? Mm-hmm. But it's like,
that's how people see you.
That's weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's because of what it is. And like, it's so funny. Some girl on my podcast told me that. She was like, I feel like you have kind of things all together. Like, it kind of looks like it. I was like, the hell, what does that mean, all together? I was like, why I work so much is because things aren't all together. Like, they're not. That's why we do what we do, till we get to the point where we can go and do whatever the fuck we want, whenever we want, whoever we want. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But things have to be put in place, and things are building, and things are growing. And I don't think I'm ever gonna like stop. I just think the workflow is gonna decrease a little bit, and but change. I don't think I'll ever stop, mm-hmm. honestly, because that's not to be inappropriate, but that's how I get off, is by working and being productive. No. That's being productive. I'm gonna say this jokingly, but it's not real. Being productive gets my dick hard.
Dang, it really gives me context. My cousin told me that.
You just said dang.
Every man has something that, other than a woman or a man, gets their, you know.
Yeah.
My cousin told me jujitsu gets, you know,
his
dick hard.
I don't
blame him. I'm like, it also gets my dick hard.
Yeah. See? Like, we all have like our form of therapy that we have our own. You know what I mean? Like jujitsu, when you're like in the gym strangling another fucking female and you're learning new techniques. Like, it's a form of therapy. When you're in the gym, when you're cooking, when you're reading, when you're doing your next project, it's a form of therapy. Like, and communicating even with a therapist, that's a form of therapy. Like, that's why
therapy.
But that's why I was telling you, I was like, you have so many different avenues and tools that you can work with. So it's like, you're good, right? Like, blessed. Not even good, you're blessed. So it's good to have. But I think we shouldn't have a negative connotation on like the things that we do, like work. Because we are very tenacious in what we do. But I also think that something like to pass on to you, because we are very much alike. We have way too much in common.
Very much alike. You and me.
We're getting closer. No, but we're very much alike, and I think you remind me of me when I was a fighter.
Okay. So I should be a fighter then.
No, stop. No, when I was fighting, there was no stopping.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
like,
yeah,
it was sense. Like, fuck girls, fuck parties, fuck alcohol, fuck distractions, fuck family. I said fuck everything. You know, when I go see my family now, I'm like genuinely with them. When I'd go see them when I'm in training, I would sleep. and recover when I was fighting. Every time my family would go to Cancun for the family reunion vacation that we do every year, I wouldn't go. But Daniel, you don't have a fight. Why can't you go? I need to go to the gym and get better. Right? Mm-hmm. There is like this crazy addictive personality kind of thing. So it's like, that's kind of like what I see in you when I was a fighter, that tenacious relentlessness, and you just won't stop. I think after fighting is when I just really started to educate myself on shit and just get more at Zen, to the point where it's like, I view work now as fun, mm-hmm. where I see training as fun, sleeping as fun, communicating as fun.
Mm-hmm. It is fun. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you change your whole outlook on things. But I think when you're just, cause you are relentless even when it comes to training. Like, I don't think I've ever seen somebody wanting to hit mitts so much.
I love it.
I told you to chill when we were working together. I said, stop. You're done.
Like, I'm not done. I'm ready for more. I want to go more.
But you weren't even gassed, which is weird. Like, we did hella rounds. Like, me and Isaac were switching you. Like, oh, Isaac, hold for her. And then I was going to go. And I'm like, and you're like, I'm going to go again. I'm like, dude, stop. Like, stop. But like, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, damn, this girl just has nobody to stop. But she is relentless. And I was like, oh, she reminds me of me when I was a fighter. Like, there was no stopping.
I love it so much.
But see, you need to understand that within yourself. You are that person. And that's never going to go away.
You mean this, like, this twitch in my eye that keeps going?
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. You are gonna enhance in so many ways. But the tenacity and the relentlessness, that's not going anywhere. That's not going anywhere. But aren't those beautiful traits to have?
Yes, Effie, I love them.
That's my thing. I think right now, just accept your thought process. Just mm-hmm. accept your line of thinking. Mm-hmm. This is what it is.
Yeah.
Be married to it. That's your husband right now.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah, I identify as being married to my thought process. And we're in love. And I accept my thought process fully and completely. And I commit to it for the long term because it's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Just accept it. Yeah. And it's all good. Mm-hmm. That's what I would do. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're still single. Yay.
Yes. But we need kids.
We need kids.
We need kids.
Kids.
It's so weird to say. Kids. Yes, but we need children.
Oh, Jesus. Is that Russian?
I don't know, man. Children. If it felt Russian, it'll be Russian.
Children. Children. It sounded more like German. No, German's more like, I can't.
You're like, oh, dang it.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. That was Chinese, in my opinion. But
oh, wow.
Well, I have to pee, and it's getting so hot in here.
Dude, yeah.
I'm so sorry. Luckily, this is a
fucking fire-ass podcast.
Yeah, it is, but like I'll just figure out how to turn on the AC so we're not sweating next time.
Well, you're moving stations anyway, so we're good.
Yes. My question for you is, what is the greatest lesson that you've learned in your life?
Interesting. Okay. It was funny. I ask everybody that on my podcast.
It's original.
Right.
Yeah. You can feel how your guests feel now.
Agreed. But I feel like I have so many, but I want to be specific today. I'm not going to say this is my favorite one, but I am going to say this is one of them. So hard. I'm like Elon. When Elon gets asked a question, he pauses a long period of time. What's the greatest lesson I've ever learned? That it's okay. That it's okay. Like, anything that you do, if you want to go out with your friends and enjoy your time for a little bit, it's okay. If you want to say no to a family wedding because you have to work, it's okay. If you have to drop a friend that's toxic to your life, it's okay. It's going to be okay regardless. That's one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned. That no matter what, it's going to be okay. Hmm. Period.
That was powerful. And I really like that. 100%. I agree. Thank you. for being at my podcast.
Hannah, I love you.
I love you too.
Thank you for having me on.
Yes, thank you for being here. Have a beautiful day and keep elevating. Follow Talking Out My Ass
on podcast
on Instagram, YouTube, and Spotify.
Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
And Apple Podcasts.
And subscribe to Elevate Today Podcast. Stop waiting. Subscribe, like, comment. Don't be a fake fan.
Yeah, literally.
Participate until it's too late. Join the club because she will not accept any more people.
Imagine. No. Blocked.
Hi. Blocked.
Okay. Goodbye. Thank you.